little bit interesting for an all age, so here we go. But let's give some background. A lady has been caught in a compromised position. And it's illegal what she's done in the law. So they drag her before Jesus. This is the passage before where Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world." And some guys drag her in front of Jesus and they say, "Jesus, this woman's done something naughty. She deserves to die. What do you think we should do with her?" And so in that context, Jesus then, he says, this is what happens. It says, "Teacher, this woman's been caught. The law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" They were using the question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and checked his emails in the ground. No one knows what he did in the sand. No one knows what he writes. But if God is outside of time, then perhaps Jesus had an idea that actually emails are going to be in the future. I'll just see what's going on. There's loads of theories. We can never really know for sure. But he wrote something in the sand. I don't know, he drew a smiley face or something. At this, those who heard began to go away. So those who let anyone who is out sin throw the first stone. He draws in the sand. At this, those who had heard began to go away, one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. And then Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman?" That's not a good way to speak. If I said that to Lindsay, "Woman!" Anyway, I just found it pretty funny. There we go. "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" Note to self, take noisy toys out of crash toys. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." And then it says, when Jesus spoke against the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Can we stick that PowerPoint up, Fran, and I'll get my clicker, and let's see if the clicker works for this one. I don't know if it will, but we'll see. See if we can see it. "I am the light of the world." Here we go. Yes, I am. Oh, I've heard, that's a bit of a heads up for a song we might be singing later. Who knows? Oh, it's not working, is it? Okay, so can you click on the one with the memory verse on it? If we've got a new laptop and we're teething issues, it's all good though. There we go. See, it works for me, Andy. Who's God's favourite now? I mean, sorry. Just... I don't know why Andy Avery's didn't work. I'm sorry. Jesus said... Should we read this together? Can we read this together? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 8, verse 12. We're going to remember this verse this morning. I want you to declare, "Jesus said..." You need to do it with that voice. "I am the light of the world." We need some actions with this as well. You need to like move your arms. So copy me, okay? Here we go. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me," you can pretend to walk, obviously, "will never walk in darkness, but will have the light," you're switching the light on, of life. There we go. Right. Should we do it one more time? Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 8, verse 12. So we all remember that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," but we always kind of forget the next bit about whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Who is scared of the dark? Put your hands up. Who's scared of the dark? It's okay to be... Oh, my hand is up. Not because I'm illustrating putting your hand up. I'm actually scared of the dark. I'm a little bit scared of the dark. That's amazing. So what happened was... Let me tell you a story. About 6 months ago, I woke up in the night and I was in an utter panic. I was so, so terrified. And I knew that... it was pitch black in our room. Our room is dark. Lindsay likes it dark. Like, you cannot see your hand in front of your face. If there is any light in our room, Lindsay wants to eradicate the light because she likes it dark in the room. So I woke up and I was so disoriented. I mean, it was in our bedroom. I've been in our bedroom many times before. I've slept there for a lot of nights. And I was like, this is weird. I'm freaking out. And I was so disorientated. I didn't know where I was. And I just had this thought in my head. I need to get to the light. I need to get to the light. And in our house, we leave the downstairs landing light, the downstairs hall light on. So it shines a bit of light up the stairs. So if the kids wake up in the night, they're not too scared. They don't freak out. Well, I was freaking out. I was honestly, I've never had anything like it. I was so scared. Has anyone ever had that? We just wake up completely disorientated at night time. And I just thought in my head was like, I need to get to the light. Because if I get to the light, I'm going to be all right. And that rhymed. That wasn't intentional, but it did. But if I get to the light, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I've got a light bulb here. So, what's your name? Where'd you come from?
Albie from Chester.
What's your name? Where'd you come from?
Albie from Chester.
You're Albie from Chester as well? I mean, I know I get you confused, but if you get yourselves confused, that's a whole different level. Is your name actually Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. So, let's go with Albie first. Albie, can you just inspect that light bulb? Just have a little look at it. Don't drop it. Just have a little look at it. Is it just a normal light bulb? There's nothing weird about it, is there? Can we just have a little look at it over here as well? Just have a look. Have a sniff. There we go. I always end up with these guys up, don't I? And it always goes a bit weird. I'm not going to lie, Greenwoods. Right. So the thing is that Jesus says that he is the light of the world. He is the only one in the whole of the universe that has come and declared in truth that he is the light of the world. And that if we follow him, we will never walk in darkness. He is the source of the light. He is the source of the light. Now, in my story of when I was afraid, I was terrified of the dark. I was just woke up and I was panicked. And in fact, it goes back. When I was younger, my mum used to say to me, can you go and lock the back gate? And it would always be, I'd been out on my bike and the back gate had been left unlocked and it was always dark down the side alley of our house. And has anyone else been out on the side alley of your house? I don't know, but I have a really good imagination. I just imagine that there is probably, as the moment I go to lock the gate, there will probably be an alien invasion or some kind of monster scaring, you know, standing in the dark. Or, you know, at worst, someone's going to try and jump over the gate just at that moment. That never happened. And I would run to the gate as quickly as possible, lock it. So now, at home in our house, it's really dark where you have to go and lock the gate. And the same thing happens. I'm terrified. But, thank you, Jesus, for the light. It's changed my life, I can't tell you. Honestly, I can go and lock the gate and not be terrified. It's so powerful. So I'll be like, oh, I've got to go and lock the gate. Let's get my phone, turn it on, boom. Go and lock the gate. Lock it up. Make sure we're secure. I have to say, I still try and get back indoors quite quickly and lock the door behind me, just to make sure, because there are those little moments. And it seems a little bit childish, but light is such a significant thing. In the story I read out a little bit of about the lady that's been in trouble, and then this passage comes straight after. I think it's there deliberately. I think that when this woman is caught, she is, before Jesus, she's literally on the verge of death. If Jesus says to her, you're guilty, you're going to die, then she could die. She's on the verge of death. But Jesus says, can we have that verse up again on the screen? Jesus says that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. They will have the light of life. Jesus is the only person in that situation who can condemn her. He says, whoever's without sin, let them chuck the first stone. Well, we know that Jesus is without sin, and therefore he has every right to chuck the first stone. But he doesn't. In a dark situation, what Jesus does is he brings light and he brings life. And he literally hands her her life back. He says, go and live your life and sin no more. I'm not getting choked up. I just got something stuck in my throat. But he literally hands her life back. He literally gives her life back. And I think it's been recorded in a way that then this goes on, and then Jesus starts to talk about judgment and how he judges. And he says, I don't judge in the way that you guys judge, but if I did judge, I'd be an awesome judge. It's basically what it says in the next bit of the passage. But what Jesus does is he brings light to the darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've been reading the news and you kind of look at what's going on in our world and you start to think, actually, we live in a really dark world. Things are not great at the moment. Politically, and terrorism, and there's famine, and people are still starving and hungry across the world, but also even in our own nation. The fact that we need food banks and this all kinds of stuff that goes on, and you guys know about it as well. All these things that go on, and I have heard a friend of mine even said to me, who's a church leader, said to me, we live in really dark times, and sometimes it feels like there is no hope. And even in our own lives, sometimes we can live in a place where we're just a situation, stuff going on. We might even feel just personally in our own lives, there is just no hope. The story I told about running towards the light so I would feel all right is a really great metaphor for actually running towards Jesus. If we run towards Jesus when we feel hopeless, if we run towards Jesus when we're afraid of life around us, if we go after who he is the light in the darkness. And even though the situation you might find yourself in seems really dark, or you look at the news and you look at the world around us and you think, this is really dark, let me encourage you and implore you, put your trust in Jesus, because he is the light of the world. And if we follow him, we won't walk in darkness and we will have the light of life. It isn't just fancy words that Jesus says to sound cool. He literally means it. I am the light in the darkness. This world is dark. Come to me and I will light it up and I will give you a life that is full of light and not darkness. That's what Jesus does for us. Now, just before we move on, we're going to have a little break. Sometimes I've got another little thing in my bag. This isn't a trick at all. This is, I mean, depending on what era you live in, if you go back 150 years, this is a magic trick in itself. I've got a tea light here. I'm going to flick a switch because I thought it's safer than me bringing actual fire into the building. I have a bad history with fire. Sometimes we think of light. We think of Jesus being the light, and we think of a candle. It lights up the darkness. So if we're in a dark room, pitch black, you light a candle. Wherever that candle is, there is no darkness around that candle. And sometimes we go, that's like Jesus. That's Jesus, that. Jesus is like a candle in the dark. And you're not wrong in thinking that. But what I think was we're probably underestimating how powerful Jesus is if you think he's a candle in the dark. Because a candle's good. So then you could think, well, I'll tell you what, I'll switch a light on. And then the light lights up the room. And you go, yeah, that's cool, that's cool. That's what Jesus is like. Jesus is like a light in the dark. He's like switching on a light. Can I just introduce you to the best image of Jesus that I have ever seen in terms of light? I just need to go over here. And bearing in mind, we've gone from candle to light bulb in a house. Let me just introduce you to the light that is Jesus in the world. It's this big. He literally lights up the world. Except it's gone cloudy. Seriously, you just can't trust the weather in this country, can you? The light that is Jesus is like the sun in the sky. It illuminates everything. It is so powerful, you can't even get near it because you'll get consumed by it. But by the grace of God, that's what the light of Jesus is like in our world. It's not a candle. It's not even a light on a phone. It's not a light in your house. That's what it's like. The light of Jesus is like the sun. He created the sun. So goodness me, he has to be even more powerful than that. That's what you're going after. That's what, when you're facing a dark situation, when you're terrified, when you're scared, when life sucks, that's what you're going after. You're not going after a nice little candle with a tea light. You're going after the creator of all things, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was and is to come, the Alpha, the Omega, the Prince of Peace, the most powerful of everything. There's nothing can compare to him, the Bible says. That's the God I go after. That's the God we go after. That's the God who says, I am the light of the world. And come and follow me. And you'll never walk in darkness again, but you will have the light of life. Can you all just do one thing? Can we just do something just before we have some tea and coffee? Get your phone out. If you've got a light on your phone, I want you to turn it on. Our light doesn't compare to God's light, the sun outside. Let's just turn it on. And if you've got a small person with you, maybe they want to hold it or to do something with it. Reuben, do you want to come and hold my phone? So the quote that we heard read out, not read out, but in the movie, is a quote from a lady. It's actually misquotation, or not misquotation, but an adapted quotation to sell a movie. This is what she actually said. Man, if you guys could sit here and see what I'm seeing with all these lights on, it's so amazing. Our deepest fear, Jesus, oh, by the way, sorry, before we get to this, Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, he says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And this is what we're going to look at just a second, just to finish. It says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Well done, buddy. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people will not feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give permission to others to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. That was Marianne Williamson in her book, A Return to Love. As you let your light shine, you let that power out, the power of God. If God is in you, then he is the light of the world, and you become the light of the world. So I want to encourage you to go after Jesus as the source of the light. And whatever situation you are facing, if you're going after Jesus, you're going to be all right. It might not work out perfectly how you think it will be, but you will get through it, and you will come through to live another day and to testify of the goodness of God. But in doing so, you will also be able to start letting your light shine. This week it's Halloween. And we can draw loads of analogies about darkness and light from that as well. And if you're a young person here, if you're one of the children 11 years under primary school, then we have a glow party at Hall Lighthouse Centre that Lindsay and Andy are involved in, and a few others as well. We'd really love you to come along. Information's on our website. Come along. But we kind of look at that and we see all these dark things. We see all these scary things. And my Thea has been terrified this last week. Every time she's gone into a shop, she's freaked out because she's seen some kind of like dead bride kind of thing hanging up, or a skull, or whatever. It's just freaky. And so she's been really freaked out. But in our dark world, I want to encourage you, go after Jesus, the light of the world. And then in doing so, allow him to shine through you and let the light shine through how you live, the things you do, what you say, the way you treat people. Let's pray. Can we all hold our lights up really high? Hold your lights up really high. Draining your batteries, some of you. I'm sorry. Jesus, I thank you that we are the light of the world. I thank you that you are the source of that light. I thank you that you are the source of everything that is good. Jesus, we want to press into you. We want to go after more and more of you. And Jesus, we ask that in our situations we find ourselves where we are feeling like we are in darkness, would you shine your light really bright in those situations? Would you start to do something in the things we find ourselves in? And in our world, politically, globally, with terrorism and wars and famine and disaster and all this kind of stuff, would you continue to shine your light and allow your church, your people across our globe to let their light shine? We thank you that you are the light of the world, and that if we follow you, we never have to be in darkness, but we can have the light of life. Amen. Amen. Wow. It was great seeing all those lights on. Even if it's daylight, it just looked amazing. We're going to take a pause now for some tea and coffee. Then we're going to get back together. We're going to have a time of worship. We're going to celebrate communion together. If you are a child or you just want to get involved, Lindsay and Shannon and whoever else is helping out, I don't know, are going to be down here making some pictures, some craft stuff, so get involved with that. Otherwise, there's tea and coffee and there's biscuits, and we'll do that for about 20 minutes, and then we'll get together, and then the young people are going to be leading us in some worship.